technical talk on this.
As Florin told, it's a group measure space construction is that starting from group action, which is assumed to be probability measure preserving and free and ergodic. From this you construct a pair of von Neumann algebras. One is just a function algebra and which sits inside the crossed product von Neumann algebra. This is called this part is as Florin defined, it's Cartan subalgebra. And the information it has is orbit equivalence relation. And from this I just forget the position of Cartan subalgebra and consider the von Neumann algebra. It's now called W star equivalence. So this is just conjugacy, the classified up to conjugacy, group action is classified up to conjugacy. And the problem is that to what extent this orbit equivalence remembers the group action, or to what extent this remembers this or that. This is a question we are working on. And this part, there's a lot of result, actually. First complete information that this orbit equivalence contains was proved by Fuhrman based on Zimmer's result. And then Popper Solin gave a completely different approach to this problem and worked on Bernoulli shift and so on. And there's another, nowadays there's another reason. Results and one is due to KIDA, which is very surprising that mapping across group have orbit equivalence rigidity for any action, and other result is due to Adrian Ioana, which he will present anyway. And there's a little weaker work is due to Mono and Shalom. They worked on the group which is free group times free group type, and in this setting you cannot expect full generality of co-cycle super rigidity or something. You have to assume it's a strong rigidity type. You have to assume the target side has some property also. And Ioana's case is profinite action and group is property P. And recently we got that some von Neumann algebra remembers the position of Cartan, which means it has a unique Cartan subalgebra, and this is 0.7. And this action is actually, as Solin also already told that it's profinite plus free group, or free group times free group, or so like that. So at this moment there is no intersection. You see profinite, there is profinite, but the free group does not have property T, and Mono-Shalom result is not as strong as recovering these two here. So at this point we don't have any example that with von Neumann algebra which remembers all the group action completely. Okay, that's the status of theory. So I define profinite action. Profinite action, all actions are probability measure preserving. That profinite is profinite. By definition, it's x is projective limit of finite measure space, which got marked on this finite measure space. So, and got marked on Xn. This is finite. So by ergodicity assumption, if you assume it's ergodic, any finite measure space which gamma acts is of this form gamma over subgroup gamma n. So it's a sequence of subgroups. They are all finite index because xn is finite. And gamma acts on this quotient by from the left. It's clear, yes? And there are some conditions which ensures that if it's whether it's free or not anyway. And in the phenomenal algebra setting, this is nothing but actually AF action, that L infinity x is same as the direct union of L infinity x n, which is just finite dimensional algebra, and on which it's at. And in the setting with L infinity gamma over gamma n fits inside L infinity gamma over gamma n plus 1. They all fit inside gamma, L infinity gamma. That this is just a function, function here, which is invariant under right gamma in action, yes? And there's increasing union, but the topology is different. They have all finite trace, that trace is normalized, so that when you take closure, you don't get this one, you get this one, yes? And more generally, we say that gamma acting on P is now von Neumann algebra, finite von Neumann algebra. And for action, I always assume it's trace preserving. Yes, there's a fixed trace. Then I talk von Neumann algebra, it has fixed trace, and any action is fixes that trace. Yes, it's for finite, well, actually, AF. That P is a union, increasing union of finite dimensionals. Of course, finite dimensional von Neumann algebra. And gamma acts on Pn. That gamma leaves Pn invariant. The finiteness is used in this form that usually, it's actually same as Ioana's case, it's used in this form. But there exists eta n in L2Pn, tensor Pn, complex conjugate, which corresponds to the element identity in the Hilbert-Schmidt operators. But this, it's well known that this, that the tensor product of Hilbert space with its conjugate is isomorphic as a Hilbert-Schmidt operator on L2P. Yeah? But Hilbert-Schmidt, but twice is not a big twice, it's this finite twice on finite von Neumann algebra. But so the defining relation is that the A tensor B complex conjugate, eta n, is tau A, B star, A, 1, say 1, B star, 1, or 1 star, it's 1. It's tau A, B star. Yeah? So it's unit vector. And this has the following properties, that the tensor B bar eta n is eta n for any V in unitary element of Pn. It's Pn, sorry. Unitary element of Pn. Because here, because there's one identity. Identity is in the Hilbert-Schmidt class because it's finite dimensional, yes? This is clear, yeah? That if you put the Vn in front or in back, I don't know. It cancels anyway. And the action. Action was, I denote action by sigma. But this is invariant under the action of sigma, yeah? This group action, because Pn is invariant under sigma, so sigma restrict to action only, well, restrict to unitary on L2P, L2PN, and it, of course, sigma G, well, identity is identity. So that's it. And finally, condition three is that this eta n, if you take inner product, then you get twice x. But that the finiteness is not orbit equivalence invariant. It's not written anywhere, I think, but it's not anyway. So one has to introduce weaker version. Oh, by the way, for finiteness, so other part for finiteness you get used is that the peak cross gamma for normal algebra is actually Pn cross gamma, but it's union of Pn cross gamma, but actually union and cross product commute because it's invariant. Yeah. Which is something more or less like matrix algebra over L gamma union. So definition is that now we say it's weakly compact. It was called weakly profinite, but now it's called weakly compact, suggested by Adrian Ivona. That weakly compact means that there exists eta n in L2P tensor, L2P bar or P bar, it's same. But I choose it from positive part. Positive means positive as a non-commutative L2. Such that they are becomes approximate setting. This two norm tends to zero, any being unitary P, and sigma G invariant approximately. Eta n minus eta n tends to zero, any g. And finally, one can replace this with approximate condition, but I actually use the rigid condition, it's equal for any n. Any x in p and any n. Because if it approximates, then it's approximation that this is a weak star, this is normal state on P, and if it's approximate twice, then it's approximate in the weak topology, and by convex combination and some perturbation, you can replace it to the rigid exact form, and then I prove something, I use this exact form, so. But you can replace it to just limit as well. They are equivalent. And this, they imply this condition, this implies this condition, profinite implies this condition, because this is true for any B in the union of PNs. But this condition means that you can perturb this part little and it doesn't change much to norm. And actually the right hand side too. One has to write it, but anyway, yes. And this condition is actually all zero for any n. And this condition is that if you take twice of, if you take in a product of this, actually this factors through the conditional expectation onto Pn in this case, and it's twice preserving, conditional expectation is twice preserving. So they imply this. And why we call this weakly compact is that if the action is compact, meaning that this gamma has a closure in the automorphism group of P is compact in the pointwise weak star, pointwise ultra weak topology, then it has this property. So it's weaker than compact. Compact is weaker than profinite. Yes. And if you are familiar with standard this P, what? Hypertrace business, then you get this is this weak compactness is equivalent to that there exists state phi on B of L2P such that phi is invariant under the add action V. That add you know that V to it conjugate by V. And this tends to this then becomes phi is invariant and add you sigma G. Here sigma G is action on P that it has some automorphism on P, but I identified it with a unitary on L2P. Yes? So add sigma G, this sigma G is unitary element in, on L2P. So this makes sense here. Yes? And this, as I taking limit, you get this and this, and taking limit, it feels restricted to P is a twice. Just well, phi is phi x by you define phi x by a limit of some limit, but limit may not convergent. So you take some ultra limit of this of that form x tends to 1, eta n. And this part cancels always if you put it here. Yeah? So it's very well known that this property is said called the P central state, and the condition this 1 and 3 is saying is just saying that P is amenable, yeah? Or P is injective. But this amenable mean, if it's amenable, it has invariant mean, but this invariant means even under invariant under conjugation by gamma, that's a weak compactness. And we need further some property, that which is complete metric approximation property. Now, M is a Fonnet algebra. In general, M is this guy, that P is Fonnet algebra inside M. That's generally, but they are anyway all Fonnet algebras. But when I use M, I have in mind this Fonnet algebra, and when I use P, I have in mind subalgebra. Okay, M has a complete metric approximation property. If there exists a map theta n from M to M, which is normal just means ultra weakly continuous, because it's not positive. Normal usually defined for only positive functional, but it's just ultra weakly continuous. Yeah? Finite rank. And X, theta n converges the identity in the two ultra weak topology or two ultra strong topology. Anyway, you can take convex combination. Such that, and it's bounded. The norm is uniformly bounded, but CB norm is uniformly bounded. Limit soup. This is important. It's a limit soup. Yes. Oh, but actually not important. Oh, because I didn't assume it's unitary. Okay, it's limit soup or soup. I don't care. Limit soup. You know, that M is injectable or amenable if you can take a normal finite rank map with this property, and this has a completely positive. Completely positive map automatically CB norm 1 if it's unitary. And so it's a weaker version. And the theorem of Hagerup or Dohanier-Hagerup. R or N has 2. I guess R has 2. 2N and 1R. Hagerup. That they prove that free group Fonnet algebra has this property. Well, that's actually the proof was different, but there's a Hadamard multiplier which we have obtained earlier, which means that actually he obtained earlier that from this has a metric approximation property, which means this CD is replaced with just norm. And Dukanier Hadamard obtained its complete metric approximation property. That we Hadamard multiplier FR to LFR, which sends lambda G to T to the length G, lambda G. It's multiplier, and T is between 0 and 1. And what Hadamard showed is that it's completely positive, unitary completely positive. But this isn't, of course, finite rank, because it's non-zero always. But it's compact. It tends to zero. And if you use Bojeko-Picadello inequality, or if you use complex analysis method, that actually this extends to whole disk by analytic extension. It has analytic extension to whole disk. But it's not, because in that case, they need not be unitary completely positive, but anyway. And anyway, there's methods that one can cut the tail, the small part, and make it finite rank. And in this process, this positivity gets lost. But CB norm is controlled. This has CB norm 1 because it's completely positive and unitary. Now the theorem we proved is that theorem A, if P is subalgebra of M and M has a complete metric approximation property, then the normalizer of P, which appeared in the following talk as well. It's a unitary element in M, but it conjugates P into P, onto P. Normalizer of P acts P weakly compact, acts by, of course, conjugation. Yes? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Of course, P is amenable or injective. They are same. But this condition, of course, our definition of weak compactness implies amenability, so one has to assume that. Yes. Thank you. And the theorem B, the same. Yes. The theorem B is that the now M is a cross product by free group or free group times free group, or in that case it becomes more complicated. So I just take in the simplest case, it's free group. And action need not be ergodic nor free and anything. And Q can be arbitrary, finite from M algebra. And P is inside M. And I assume this is weakly compact. No, that assumption is that normalizer acts weakly compact. So in practice, unless one has this assumption, this condition, you don't know if P is weakly compact, if P was arbitrary. Yes. Then the conclusion is that it's either they are mutually exclusive. Either a corner of P, a non-zero corner of P, this is always Sorin does in recently. The non-zero corner of P is conjugated into Q. But there is some, if you cut some piece, then it's conjugated into Q. And in this case, the normalizer is big because normalizer basically contains some piece of free group, and which is non-amenable, of course. Or this normalizer is small. So normalizer is either big or small. It's small. Is amenable. But amenable relative to Q. And the corollary is that one gets corollary whenever you can check that M has a complete metric approximation property. That when Q is, for example, Q is one-dimensional, then the statement reads as follows: P is in LFR, which is diffuse, because I don't want it's a corner of P is embedded into one-dimensional, which means it has minimal projection. Then the normalizer of P generates still amenable relative to one-dimensional means amenable, although I didn't define. So this generalizes strengths in the Boyklescu's result. Boyklescu's result says that this cannot be whole LFFR. And of course LFFR isn't amenable, so this strengths in Boyklescu. And strengths in my result as well. That my result was that commutant is amenable, and commutant any commuting unitary is inside normalized. And the second case is this is trivial action. So M, so trivial action. That Q tensor free group factor has no Cartan. If I guess this condition is redundant, but we couldn't prove it. If Q has schema. Three is it's a gamma acting on X is profinite. Yeah? Profinite. If gamma acting on X is profinite and free and ergodic, then this L infinity X is a unique Cartan. In the closed product. Even unique up to unitary conjugacy. Because the if action is profinite, phonema algebra is of this form, and it's a union of free group factors over matrix. And the free group factor has always complete metric approximation property, and this property clearly passes to directed union. Yeah. So in this case also, this has schema, it automatically follows. And any subalgebra has this weak compactness, satisfies weak compactness. So. So from now I talk about proof of theorems. But actually the first proof I gave in the preprint was very complicated, but now it's much simpler, and it's it seems it was posted and it will appear tonight on archive. Okay. Yes. Define omega n a tensor B bar is tau this theta n a B star for A and B in m theta is this theta. And then because theta n is a finite rank and normal fit means theta n is theta, if any finite rank map by linear algebra, it have of this form, yes? K is 1 to rank. And it's normal, so it actually split on the both sides. And so omega n is actually in the defined over all from normal algebra, and even it's ultra weakly contains because it's split. Split as a normal state tensor, normal state, and some weight. But there is no control of norm. So we define omega n p to be omega n restricted to p tensor p bar. Then this form is actually theta n a as b star 1 hat on L2m. And it's same as here. Then because P is amenable, it's omega n P. Now it's there's control of norm. This norm is controlled by, first I take minimal tensor product of theta n tensor identity, which is theta n CB norm. And the representation that if P is amenable, if and only if left and right representation extends extends to a minimal tensor product in norm. So this you can compute the norm on minimal tensor product, sister tensor product of P tensor P bar, but because it's normal, it's enough. So one gets this. It's approximately one. By CMAP. Where CMAP appears, actually there is a condition that you change this one to any finite number, any C, you get completely bounded approximation property, but the theorem doesn't work for that. There should be some smart way to adapt something in that case too, but it's not known. I need this one. And omega NP, one tensor one, is close to one. It's tau, C tau, because it's tau theta n 1 is close to 1. And as well, omega n p vb star is close to 1, any being unitary of p. Everything, when n tends to infinity, yes? And if it's a linear function that is almost known 1 and it takes no, it takes one after identity, it's almost state positive, yes? It's almost positive and it almost leaves Bn, Bn, B star, Bv, tensor Vy invariant, which means this immediately implies by just looking at the GNS representation, this immediately implies, what? Omega n p, V tensor Vy dot is almost as a linear function, it's close, yes, in norm. So I define eta n to be this positive, that absolute value in the as a linear function or in L1, non-commutative L1 space, and take square root. When eta n satisfies the first condition, and it's approximate version of the third condition. Yes? Because if you restrict it to x tensor 1, it's just theta n x, twice, it's close to twice. Well, one could have theta n this side as well. And why second condition is satisfied is that the and Y. This is because I consider the, what is G, sorry. Action is add, given by the adjoint of U. U is in normalized of T. That's the action. Why this is true? Is that I consider the P tilde by phoneme algebra generated by P and this single unitary U. If you add the single unitary U from normalizer, it's almost cross the product and it's still amenable phoneme algebra. You can check it. So from what we did, just replacing P with P tilde, you get this is approximately same as P tilde silk add U tensor U bar as a linear functional. Because U tensor U bar, this takes value almost one at U tensor U bar. You can put on the both side, left side and right side by considering just looking at the GNS representation. And just one restrict to P. Restriction to P. You get omega n P is close to omega n P. Now adjoint action leaves P invariant, so it's okay. So by taking the absolute value and taking square root, you get. When you take square root, you need power of Sturmer type inequality anyway. Eta n is close to U tensor U bar. Well, actually, under which kind of identification you use, that it might be star here. But I don't care because you can replace it here, yes. It's same anyway. So that's the proof. For the proof of the theorem B, we need a deformation, but deformation appears always in recent work on particularly Popper. Yes? This is used by deformation. This was used by Sorin to give another proof of solidity of free group factor. That I consider the free group is generated by A1, this canonical generator. For simplicity, I assume R is finite. Well, actually, it works as well for infinite case, but I assume it's finite. And I prepare a copy of it. This is just a copy of it, but to distinguish first one and second one, I put tilde. Yeah. And these are canonical generators, but I view them as a unitary operator. So it's M is L of FR, and M tilde is L of FR times free product with FR tilde. I view them as a unitary element in M tilde. Then I define automorphism, not automorphism, actually it's automorphism, but I define star homomorphism for T in real number. I map AK to BK to T power AK. And if you want to extend to whole M tilde, you map BK to BK. Well, T power is just, you use some BK T power, is just exponential of T of log BK, of course. But the log is taking this principal branch, yeah. But anyway, it's hard unitary, so it doesn't usually matter. But by this case, this operator becomes symmetric. Becomes what? Symmetric spectrum, and so by this you get, you compute twice. Twice is easily computed and you get this value. Sine pi t over pi t. Which I define gamma t. And it's important to do this because gamma t is symmetric and that is, so gamma minus t is gamma t. And why this is this defined Stahl monomorphism is clear that AKs are free unitary, free Hall unitary, and the right hand side is also free Hall unitary, so they generate the same Fonheim algebra. And the lemma we use is that I use alpha t mapping from M to M tilde, and then apply conditional expectation. This is conditional expectation onto M. And you will see this kind of thing in Shevchenko's talk later, perhaps. Yes. This is actually coincide with Hausdorff multiplier. Actually, I'm starting the proof of theorem B only for Q is C1. Q is identity, complex number, for simplicity. Everything can be relativized, but anyway. This is Hausdorff multiplier there. The proof is simple that for example, I consider the following element, A1, A2, A2. This is mapped by alpha t in the following, BA1 inverse, B1 minus t, B2 t, A2, B2 t, A2, yes, by alpha t. But the point is that they are mutually free because this is a reduced form. You don't have A1 inverse A1, of course. Then these are mutually free. And if you if you apply expectation onto M free group factor, then this B part all killed. But B part, B has twice. B has actually twice is gamma t. So when you expect onto the EM, you get twice value of this. And twice value of minus t is same as twice value of gamma t, so you get gamma t cube, A1 inverse, A2, A2. Because whenever B meets its different index. And otherwise, everything is pinched by A, so and they are free. So that's a Hausdorff multiplier. It's phi gamma t. This A1 inverse A2. The point of this lemma is that this deformation that composed with conditional expectations, a compact operator, is a compact map. Hausdorff multiplier is a compact map. So I, as a corollary, you see that I use EM. EM, I use EM as well as a projection to L2M tilde to L2M. Yes. Alpha t is now its isometry from L2M into L2M tilde. It's compact. It's a compact operator in the usual meaning. This maps from L to M to L to M and it's compact. And the final property we require is that if you look at the orthogonal complement of L to M inside L to M tilde, this is decomposed into L to M tensor L to M. Of course, they are Hilbert space anyway. As an M by module. The proof, there's not too many time. Proof is simple. It's L2 FR tends free product with FR tilde, set minus FR. So it's canonically, this part canonically decomposes into FR times something word times FR. And this initial and final letters from in the reduced form from FR tilde, and they cannot interfere that multiplying from left by element in FR cannot interfere here. So they decompose into just tensor product of this and direct sum over these letters. So I give a proof of theorem B in case Q is just one dimensional here. Yeah? I cannot stop giving full detail of proof or but anyway, yes. It's very, in this case it's actually very simple, and indeed it one can give a full detail of proof. That's and P is diffuse. So that dichotomy is killed, and I need to show that normalized generates are amenable for name algebra. So I consider the following vector alpha t tensor 1 eta n. Eta n is approximately invariant under left multiplication by unitary VV bar, B tensor V bar, and adjoint of U tensor U bar for normalizing unitary. This is inside of L2M tilde tensor L2, actually P, but L2M. Where eta n is like this. I should not have erased, but anyway, I erased. Okay, you remember. Then it immediately you get the following alpha t tensor 1 eta n. This 2 now, so x is in m tilde is the same as the trace norm of x. Because alpha t preserves trace, yes? That this form you just apply conditional expectation onto alpha t m alpha t n of the x star x, and then take a trace which doesn't fit same as trace. Or anyway, you can extend this to automorphism, and this condition 3 that if there's no alpha t, it's that way, and you can put alpha t in this side if you want. And because of this condition, you can perturb this side in two norm, and that doesn't bother the two norm estimate of whole thing. So if I consider U tensor U bar, that U is in normalizer for P, any, I consider the commutator for this vector. This might be abuse of notation, but just because this is bimodule, it's U tensor U bar acts from left and right. This is dominated by 2, because it's commutator, U minus alpha T U, 2 norm, plus commutator of U tensor U bar and eta n, 2. And by assumption, this tends to both tends to zero. That when t tends to zero, above side tends to zero, t is greater than one usually. And when n tends to infinity, this tends to zero. Yes. And finally, one has the following that. If you take an orthogonal projection onto M and alpha t tensor 1 eta n, this two norm tends to zero as n ten, as t fixed. T fixed and n tends to infinity. Why this is true is that eta n is an almost p invariant mean. But eta n is almost p invariant mean means that if it's L2p, it's supported on the diagonals, almost supported on diagonals. And em alpha p is a compact operator, so it's just finite rank operator, and it's infinite dimensional. So if you take this, the volume of measure of this, this part, it tends to zero. Well, this eta n, anyway, x tends to 1, eta n tends to invariant mean, and invariant that p central state, and p central on state on b of L2p, and p is diffuse, so it kills any compact operator anyway. That's the reason. So one gets that em orthogonal that projection, it's orthogonal projection, it's 1 minus em, alpha p tends to 1, eta n. This is approximately, as n tends to infinity, this is approximately alpha t tends to 1, eta n. So I define it as zeta t n. But zeta t n, where does this live? It lives in orthogonal complement of L2 n tilde minus L2 n, so I define it h. So it's in H tensor L2M. And the property I use H is that H is actually split M module, but what I use is that the left M action extends to just it's weakly contained in the by cross by module, extends to pi from B of H, B of L2M, acting on H from left, yes? The commute with right M action. B of H action, B of L2M action commute with right M action. So I define phi on B of L2M by phi x is limit is R to a limit, which converges, t tends to zero, n tends to infinity, x tends to 1, zeta tn, zeta tn. And this is just in fact zeta t of this state. Check that see, if you take a joint of u, so phi, say phi u star x, what is this? Pi x, sorry, because I use b of h, or b of L2m, is pi x tensor 1, u tensor u bar, zeta, u tensor zeta something, u tensor u bar, zeta, u tensor u bar, zeta, zeta u tensor u bar limit. Yes, but you only appear here and there, but the other use all cancelled, because this action is from left action, that it can, this part also cancels. Okay, so it's Cx n u in normalized of p. And as well, phi restricted to m, actually no, not only normalizer, but phi restricted to m is tau, because it's almost alpha t eta n, and alpha t eta n is a trace vector. So phi is this central state, and it's trace on n, so you can, so this by with star continuity, actually this you can generalize to any unitary in normalizer P. So this means CAX is CXA NA in normalizer P and NX in B of L2M. This is a invariant mean on this condition algebra, which means this is amenable. Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you.